Brad Wilcox. He is a modern social scientist, and perhaps in some ways, I mean, Rodney Stark is still with us, but and does good work, but he is of a prior generation, and Brad Wilcox, if you will, is the next generation of sociologists. And perhaps in some way, he is following in the footsteps, big footsteps of Dr. Stark. So I think his...
Where is Dr. Stark? Where was he? You know, where did he...
The last I heard, he was at Baylor. That was the very last I heard. And though I know we tried to get over to a few lectures, and we were on the... Because we're connected with the Catholic Student Center and that sort of thing. There is primo. It's one of the premier Catholic student centers in the country. In the United States is at Baylor, but we were never able for one way. But I know the UD students, and this is just a few years ago, so I'm not sure today, they would get over and hear lectures from him there. So, okay, his bio, taking straight out of his just lifted it, hook, line, and sinker from his website, and which we will have links to. He is a professor of sociology and the director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia, the Future Freedom Fellow at the Institute for Family Studies, and a non-resident senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He is the author of Get Married, Why Americans Should Defy the Elites, Forge Strong Marriages, and Save Civilization, HarperCollins, 2024. Wilcox studies marital quality, marital stability, and the impact of strong and stable marriages upon men, women, and children. He is the author and editor of 6 books. Wilcox has written for scientific journals such as the American Sociological Review and the Journal of Marriage and Family, as well as the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Atlantic. Yes, I did try to get an article out of the Atlantic, but there was a paywall, but okay, and National Review. He's a Connecticut native who now lives in Charlottesville, Virginia, with his wife and family. And that's from his website. Now I'll pull out a part because it's part of his bio that's coming out of the book. So I guess this is disclaimer number 2. He's going to propose what is not. The research will indicate to him the best possible culture to have a successful marriage. And some of this we can choose, and some of it we cannot. And he does not come from all 4 categories as he'll lay out. And so this is what he wants to say. If you find yourself that you are not in all of these categories, he wants to tell you, you have not been dealt a death sentence, and your children have not been dealt a death sentence either. When he was of age of 6, his father died. And he was filled with rage and loss. But here will be the caveat. Here's the caveat to the elites. And so I'm giving you the thesis statement. The elites will tell you any variation of family produces the same results. His mother didn't think that. His mother thought that actually a father figure was really important now for her son, our young Mr. Brad. And so she was very conscious of the loss of the father, and she provided for him other male role models. And that attention to something that's contrary to the current wisdom allows him to this day to flourish in his adulthood. So not having a father, comes from a fatherless home, didn't doom him necessarily. But, right, his mother...
I would add, I would add to this that there is a striking difference between being fatherless because your father died and being fatherless because your father abandoned the family. So, I mean, just to put that in there, like why he may have come through that more successfully than someone else who would be known as fatherless. So he's not just fatherless. He's actually an orphan, right? He's orphaned by the fact that his father has passed away. And that needs to be acknowledged.
That is very fair. And immediately comes to my mind, because the mother could say, oh, you remember your father? Do you remember your father? Your father liked it because she'd have love and affection and that sort of thing. And even the memory of the father is one of love and so forth, as opposed to not saying anything at all.
Yeah, I mean, in general, the man who died is bereaved, right? I mean, we grieve for him, while at the same time we introduce our children to them through all means that we can to show them, you know, the virtues of that particular individual. And I think that maybe there could be something similar to that in a woman who is unjustly abandoned by her husband. Right. I mean, she may also, because she does still have those ties of affection, that she may also be able to redirect her child in an instance like that. But it just becomes that much harder because the lived reality of the separation is so fundamentally different.
It is, without a doubt, without a doubt. Exactly right. So, as we become publishing connoisseurs, I find the book publishing quality a little lacking. I do. I find the pages were rough, not nice quality, and so the contrast between the ink and the paper was not very first rate, and as a result, even though I enjoyed the content very much, I was really glad when I had finished the book and put it down. That's really kind of sad. Okay. All right, friends. Let us pick up in the next episode with the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Till then, my friends, fide Sidraccio.